Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf is considered a classic symphonic piece with special appeal for children. It's the story of an enterprising little boy named Peter, who, together with a duck, a cat, and a bird, outsmarts a wolf and hunters. It's been narrated by some of the world's great vocal actors, including Sir Peter Ustinov, Sir Alec Guinness, Sir Ralph Richardson, Sir John Gielgud, and Dame Edna Everidge. But not this year.
Let's go on, Scott, from page 29.
Okay.
Can we just do that little section in there?
And now this is how the situation...
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Begin. And now, this is how the situation was. The cat was sitting...
Maestro Marin Alsop is conducting the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, and me, performing Peter and the Wolf this weekend. I've narrated other symphonic works. Well, one of them. Aaron Copland's A Lincoln Portrait. Everyone from Illinois except Rod Blagojevich has narrated that. But Peter and the Wolf is the piece that's introduced millions of children to classical music, especially the Leonard Bernstein version with the New York Philharmonic.
The narrative that we're doing together is a slightly adapted narrative that Bernstein, he gives it more personalization. He places Peter in place. Instead of just saying, in the meadow, he says, in the meadow next to his house. I like that about the Bernstein narrative because it puts you right there.
Early one morning, Peter opened the gate and went into the big green meadow next to his house.
You know, Prokofiev was, like all musicians, composers, had to travel a lot, and so he was separated from his family. And when he was approached by a theater company to write a piece for kids, he thought it would be a great way to connect and really, I think, make a meaningful contribution to children. I mean, little did he know that this would be the piece that would introduce all of us to classical music. I heard this piece when... Oh my gosh, I think I was 3 years old. Mm-hmm. I had the recording of Bernstein narrating, which is the narration that we're using, and I used to play it all day long, all the time. My mother and father, they still can narrate with the same accent. You know what I mean? They had to listen to it so many times.
And are there special challenges to doing a piece with narration?
Well, not when I do it with someone like you, of course.
The duck's quacking became even louder than before, and in her excitement, she jumped right out of the pond. But no matter how fast the duck tried to waddle away, she couldn't escape the wolf. He was getting nearer and nearer, catching up with her. And bang! He got her. And with one gulp, he swallowed her.
I think that this piece is relatively... I say this with trepidation, but almost nothing can go wrong because the way Prokofiev has structured it, there's a lot of music in between the narrative. It's not as though, you know, you have to say it exactly at this spot or exactly at that spot. I think there's some room for interpretation. You're very dramatic when you narrate the piece, and I think it really allows for individuality.
And above them all flew the little bird, chirping merrily. My, what fine fellows we are, Peter and I. Look what we have caught. A whole wolf! Sorry. How could I miss that?
Now, you knew Leonard Bernstein. Mm-hmm.
He never narrated Peter and the Wolf for me, unfortunately. But
did he ever say to you something like, and remember, Marin, when you're conducting this piece someday or something? No?
No, I mean, he always yelled at me, but not about that. No, he was an incredible storyteller himself. Mm-hmm. And I went to a rehearsal when I was a teenager, and he was conducting a Haydn symphony with the New York Philharmonic, and he threw his baton down. I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be dramatic. And he said, do I have to tell you people the story of this Haydn symphony? Real grown-ups said, oh, yes, please tell us. You know, it was that kind of magic when he told the story. And I think that's why I love his narration to Peter and the Wolf. It's of course, true to the original, but it's very much through his own eyes.
And now, this is how the situation was. The cat was sitting on one branch of the big tree. And the bird on another branch. Not too close to the cat.
On my way here today, I ran into a man you may know, John Boucheri, who's doing Porgy and Bess.
Right.
And John said to me, he said, do you know, the way John talks, that Prokofiev studied for 2 weeks with Walt Disney? And you can hear that, of course, in Peter and the Wolf, because that's where Prokofiev learned to be able to match the music and narration.
You know, it's a little bit like knowing a fact, and then you can't get away from that fact about someone. Oh, well, now I understand how you did this. I mean, when you listen just to the music, it's completely Prokofiev. Yeah. I mean, it's got those little edgy things and discords, and I wouldn't have necessarily said that he needed any help doing what he does so incredibly well.
As it turns out, by the way, Prokofiev didn't meet Walt Disney until 1938, 2 years after he wrote Peter and the Wolf. So, who influenced whom? Finally, any instructions, Coach?
Okay, listen, the bowing is the hard part. It's all about the bowing, so we got to practice that.
I made a terrible mistake doing Lincoln Portrait once with the New Jersey Symphony.
What did you do?
Well, I bowed to the orchestra, which had the effect of mooning the audience.
Oh, my God. Well, if your pants fell down, now that could really be a show.
First two nights so far, I've managed to keep my pants up. From the first plucking and tuning of the orchestra, through the captivating sensation of hearing your voice soar alongside violins and trumpets, to the uplifting swell of sound you feel at the end of the piece when the last few notes leave you waiting anxiously for applause. Aaron Alsop and the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and me perform Peter and the Wolf again tonight at Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall in Baltimore.